Well, the use of AI-generated deepfakes is expanding in political campaigns all around the country. I think it was Eric Nesbitt who released an AI video. It was about a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes long, of Gretchen Whitmer, Jocelyn Benson, Gavin Newsom, and Tim Walz sitting around a campfire.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about how they were getting away with all this stuff. And then Mike Rogers comes out of the woods and he turns into the Hulk. And they're running away, and Eric Nesbitt's driving in on a tractor. Okay, obviously fake.
Obviously fake.
Sure. But some of these deep fakes are more realistic, and it's becoming more difficult for voters, for you, to identify what's real, what's fake, and how that is, you know, fundamentally changing the way people look at candidates. Cliff Lampe is a professor of information and associate dean for academic affairs for the School of Information at the University of Michigan and joins us this morning. Professor, it's good to have you.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk a little bit about this. How realistically can people decipher between a real campaign ad and a convincing deepfake video?
At a certain level, it's very hard to tell the difference. And the more subtle the change they make, the harder it is to tell. So turning into the Hulk is an obvious change,
sure, right?
But, you know, making somebody thinner or fatter or darker or more subtle changes are very hard to detect.
And, you know, what's striking, Cliff, is that this just isn't a Republican or Democratic issue. I mean, candidates across the political spectrum are kind of using AI. And does that suggest that we cross this threshold where, you know, campaigns feel that they can't afford not to use it?
I think it's a couple of things. I think it's probably that it's a bit of an arms race. If the opposition's going to use it, we'd better use it. It's also a lot cheaper in some ways than other media production. And so if you're a cash-strapped campaign, it seems like an easy way to create content.
It does seem like it would lend to this idea of an erosion of trust, but I don't know that voters have that type of mindset. They generally, in some cases, have shorter memories here. So what's the biggest risk for a campaign using this type of technology?
The biggest risk probably is that they go too far, that it does something that alienates voters. I don't know that, you know, there are many people with negative views of AI, so that if you're putting out what people call AI slop, then it can turn people against your campaign if you're seen as being too friendly with AI, maybe.
You know, a lot of these ads include no disclosure that AI was used. I mean, should campaigns be required to let voters know when these images and videos or audio have been, you know, artificially generated?
A lot of states around the country are working on legislation just like that, where campaigns have to notify if AI was used to generate content for a political campaign. There's some movement on that in Michigan, but that's going to be a state-by-state issue.
I mentioned the Eric Nesbitt ad. There was a disclaimer on that video that it said that this was generated using AI. But to Lloyd's point and to your point, the laws that some of these states are currently examining and whether or not they'll pass for this type of regulation, is there anything at the federal level that would keep this in check? The FCC, for example?
Not really, both because I think the current vibe is to not regulate AI as much at the federal level, but also if it's especially related to elections, most elections are legally managed at the state level, not at the federal level.
I'm wondering too, you know, how do traditional media outlets and journalists adapt when, you know, these political campaigns can manufacture these realistic content faster than a lot of times reporters can verify it?
I think there's two concerns there. One is, you know, does it fool people, right? Do you look at an AI thing and think, oh, this is real? And we see that happening all the time. Lots of people look at AI and don't necessarily have the AI literacy to say this is a fake ad. And it's causing a lot of confusion in that way. The other danger here is that everybody thinks everything is AI, so there's no such thing as truth anymore, right? And maybe a bad actor can claim, oh, that was AI, even if they're caught on video, or that a campaign gets caught in some sort of bad action, and all they do is they claim it was an AI hoax. So with people not being able to really detect often what is AI and what is not, that degrades the very idea of truth itself.
Cliff Lampe, the professor of information at the University of Michigan, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you much.
Yeah, you got it. Does this bother you if a candidate that you are supporting or would potentially support if they use artificial intelligence and deep fake videos in this way? 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. I mean, I think that's the inevitability to some degree.
Sure.
Right? It's become part of the arsenal that a campaign would have.
Yes.
And to Cliff Lampe's point, maybe cheaper.
It's cheaper. It's inexpensive.
Right.
And if you don't have much money, you do what you can to try to get your point across.
I do think, though, that there should be a bigger onus on voters, on us as folks that go out and go to the polls. Because you go back to when the allegations of Donald Trump and this collusion with Russia,
yeah,
right? Which we know is not true,
mm-hmm,
but we do know that Russia did spend, and these Russian counterparts around the world, these bad actors that were putting out fake information,
sure,
on Hillary Clinton, for example.
Right.
And they were so obviously fake, Hillary Clinton in a hijab or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But people would buy that. Now, my contention is, if you're Russia and you're spending $100,000 to finance these types of hit jobs,
mm-hmm,
isn't it up to us to be smarter and more well-informed?
Absolutely it is.
So while no votes were changed at the voting machine,
no,
people's minds were changed before they even got there.
And social media contributes to this as well, because this stuff spreads quickly.
It's wildfire.
Yeah.
It's wildfire. And I've always made the contention of, if you are listening to this show right now, or if you listen to this show every day, you're smart.
Mm-hmm.
If you go home and you talk about issues with your wife, your husband, your family, your mom, your dad, whoever it is, you're in the know.
Yes, you know what's happening.
I'm not worried about you.
Right.
I know that when you get to the polls, that you will have researched proposal A, B, C, and D.
Yes, and
prop
the candidate.
Prop 1, 2, and 3.
And every candidate.
And you will have, yes, you will have done your due diligence, so you at least are making the best decision for you, who you think will best support your interests.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But then there are a lot of people who are just fringe.
Yeah. Who are not really paying attention, and they just see that deep fake, and
yeah,
it's spread, and people are talking about it because it's been spread all over social media. And
guess what? Your votes count the same.
It sure does.
So I always make the contention at this point is, you have to be a responsible voter. We have such a wonderful gift here in this country to be able to go and elect our leaders. Whether they do what you want is a whole other
ball
of wax.
That's a different story, yeah. That's
a different topic for a different day.
Yes, right.
But we have this gift, and we need to be able to, as voters, go to the polls knowing who we think we should vote for based on the good information
that
we
have. We're
just
in a different time now. You got to pay attention.
There's no doubt about that. The DPD chief, Todd Bettison, joins us on the new proposal for the curfew for the fireworks. It's next.